Please.
Hello, it's me, your host, Jack, from the Slick Realms, here to talk to you about the Beamiverse. And we have our community manager,
Darcy from the Slosh Realms, getting your ideas out into the world.
And our news anchor.
Hi, this is Fiona from the Dotty Realm, keeping you up to date everything that's new in the Beanie Boo world.
And today we will be talking about the Slush Military and all the different nuances with it. Now, one major difference between the Slush and Slick Military is the Slick Military is always prepared for a military campaign, whereas the Slush Military only has a small military, whereas the majority of it is recruiting people during wartime. They have already been trained, so they can recruit very large numbers before, during a war, but typically they won't have a massive army outside of war, which means they often don't have as much importance placed in ranks and military achievements, considering people aren't in the military as long as they are within the Slick Military, meaning there are far less ranks. The main ranks are the infantry, the commando, or the just leader of a small squad, and then we have a general, which will just control a large army, and then you obviously have the military leader, and those are the only major ranks within the Slush Army. Obviously, we can talk quite a lot about the Slush Army, excluding this, but they vary quite differently to the Slick Military, due to the fact that, obviously, the Slicks have a major focus on constant military, and the Slushes have a focus on seasonal military. What they typically do is they'll have, once Beanie Boos reach a certain age within the Slush Military, they'll recruit them for about a year and train them in a professional military, you know, training, and then they'll send them out of the military just to live regular lives, and when a war occurs, essentially they'll be able to perform a mass drafting to draft essentially just an entire army that is relatively well-trained, whereas the, obviously, Slicks will just have an army already. But because of this, often they will have a lot of recruits that are trained but don't have a lot of experience, meaning that their army can be a lot less effective, and also once they run out of the initial burst of troops, their army quality starts to dip very quickly, which can be very dangerous for prolonged wars. But typically, if the Slush is able to get into, you know, a war machine where they're just able to constantly train troops at speed, capable of replacing their losses or the new resources that they need to obtain, they can be very effective with their abilities to build fortresses on the fly and perform very effective sieges. I mean, the Slushes, although typically in large-scale conflicts with, you know, major battles, can struggle over the long time, over the whole war, just looking at the whole war, they can do very well. Now, also another major thing to note about the Slushes is they only have three main armies. They have the massive core armies that march on a planet, a fleet, and then they'll have the smaller individual armies, they'll siege a castle, and they'll have these small squads, whereas obviously the Slicks have a lot more complicated ranks, and these Slush armies obviously won't have specific troops, they'll just anyone that's available for the time, because often they won't be able to train people accurately, meaning that the Slush army will often be just scrounged up of pretty much anybody they can find at the time. But this is often not really important considering how talented the military leaders are and capable. For example, the Antic family, an extremely powerful military family who are capable of obviously dealing heavy blows during sieges and extremely effectively leading armies. These people are often recruited in military service for life, as well as anyone that is a prodigy will typically remain in military service for life, which are the only real major core branch, as well as the people that they recruit into the army that will make up the majority, but about 100 during war, during peaceful times, and a couple thousand during non-peaceful or war times, which obviously they can still recruit some, but they'll have most of them in the military, and others might be stationed at posts or stuff like that. They'll be able to be deployed into combat. Now, the Slush's main strategy is forming outposts on a planet that they are conquering and delivering blows from those outposts, meaning that they can essentially form places of rest to assault their enemies from, while the enemies can't attack them. So they can be very effective in sieges, but if it's a very fast lightning speed warfare or they are under attack, they can obviously struggle. Even though, you know, they can defend quite well, their defenses typically aren't incredibly strong. It's more the speed with which they can create them, and things like that, which lead to their extreme defense capabilities. And another major thing that the Slushes have in their favor is, obviously, the Blowharges. The Blowharges comprise the majority of their naval capabilities. Now, they are typically not counted amongst their forces in terms of their numbers, but there's estimated 10,000 Blowhodges, which can typically bring down a battleship. A singular large Blowhodge or a smaller Blowhodge can take down a regular ship, making them extremely powerful and giving Slushers advantage over the seas, as well as them being able to freeze areas. Now, of course, Slushers have traditional ships, but in terms of warfare, they can just use Blowhodges to launch surprise attacks, devastating, you know, attacks on the ships, causing major resource losses to anybody that's opposing them in the sea. But obviously, they have a lot less capabilities on land and in the sky. The Dotties have the probably most advantageous sky capabilities with the rainbow sapphires they have. Obviously, they're the dragons that can release orbital bombardments. And then followed by the Slicks. The Slicks are pretty much second to first at everything in terms of just military capabilities, due to the sheer size and experience that the military has. Meaning that they can pretty much just destroy most of the militaries, except at their specialties. And another thing that the Slushers typically have an advantage at is their weaponry. They can construct weaponry and armor very, very quickly using their techniques and their forging style, meaning that they can build, though far less quality, weapons that obviously allow them to deploy troops quicker that may be less experienced, whereas Slicks rely on pre-forged, extremely well-crafted weapons that are crafted during peace times, meaning in war they may suffer quality issues, though often they can still supply their troops. This can be an issue during long drawn-out wars or quick lightning conflicts, but typically the Slicks will have enough stockpiling, at least in the short term, meaning this is only a major issue for longer conflicts that have exhaustive battles. Whereas the Slushers will not face the issue of equipment due to their ability to quickly create equipment without any real issue, meaning that they are far more equipped in long-term conflicts, as well as their ability to create bases and siege very effectively. And also one of the major defense forces that they have around their bases. Obviously, they can use flying forces. They'll typically have flying fortresses around their bases of their planets that they've already established and during war times, meaning an attempting assault on their core planet means probably getting past multiple large flying fortresses that can utilize built up short range and potentially long range to mid range super weapons that are stored up for massive, you know, years and years, massive energy bursts. They can either, you know, if they're about to explode due to the force of the energy being too much, they can fire on enemy planets, but typically they'll use them to fire on any approaching sources, meaning that any large naval force will have to overcome the super weapons, most likely meaning exhausting their magical supply. But because the Slushers have bases on the planet, they have stored magic for billions of years for these specific purposes, obviously having many, many super weapons that predate the first major military super weapons. They're still being less powerful, but they have major energy reserves, meaning that they can supply these to their bases, so that it's more likely you'll have to destroy them than exhausting them due to the sheer amount of energy the Slushers have stockpiled within their bases. And then launching a ground campaign is very difficult due to the, again, mentioned weaponry, and the bases above can fire down on your army, though they typically do not want to fire down on the main Slush base because this can cause major damages to the homeworld. And obviously Slushers also have ground forces, which are often led by high up members of the Antic family, as well as many other Slushers and princes that are capable of releasing attacks while using Blowhides to outmaneuver them on the sea and launch surprise attacks or just destroy their ships. But in the sky, obviously, the only way they can really win is utilizing their advanced magical techniques, meaning that Slushers' defenses are essentially on a time limit on how long they can survive. As long as they have that magic supply, obviously, they typically will be okay, but if that's drawn out or it's they lose access to that or the abilities to use it, they can just fall very quickly. And those are some of the main, obviously, Slush military things that you have to worry about. There's obviously, you can talk more about the different, you know, the weapons, like looking more specifically at them. You can look at some of the more major military leaders, but that's the core weapon, Slush military. Now over to our news anchor.
In breaking news, on the Dotty planet, there was a significant earthquake, equivalent to about a 5.5 on the Earth Richter scale. It partially destroyed a major Dotty city. We're still getting updates as to what the damage is. And it also hit several of the Slush encampments of the army that has been involved with the war on the Dotty planet. It's partially destroyed a few of the encampments, with a lot of people missing, but we haven't got any updates on the death statistics at the moment. This structural damage will significantly impact the war on the Dotty planet. On another note, there is a potential peace talk that has been brought attention to the Slicks, who are interested in it, and also the Slushes. To give you an update on the complexity of this peace talks, we'll hand over to Jack.
Thank you, Fiona. Now, the peace talk is obviously being brought to the attention of the Slicks by the Slushes, and the Slicks are entertaining the idea, but the core issue is the Danglers and Dotties. The Danglers are currently very hostile to most other nations, obviously excluding the Slushes, who they are still relatively hostile to, but they are accepting of them because they came to their aid, meaning that they potentially will not accept the peace talks. And obviously the Dotties are very eager for land, which they have not yet obtained, and the little land they have obtained will potentially be obviously disregarded if a peace talk is established, and even the Slicks potentially may disregard the deal. So it is more likely that a deal will be struck between the Slicks and the Slushes to reduce the severity of the war, though it still may continue. It is believed that they may potentially outlaw some super weapons and reduce the army sizes to reduce the scale of the war and allow themselves to rejuvenate. But this should not apply to the Danglers or Dotties, and this should potentially both remain in the war, though this is still up to debate, and obviously anything could happen depending on what the deal contains. And we can talk about this next week, but for now, that's all I have. Now on to our community manager, Darcy.
Thanks, Jack. We have no questions sent into our email this week, sadly, but as again, I myself have a question. Do any of the other Slush species members, like Helenas and Princes, have any special roles other than Helenas being healers and things like that?
Well, yes. Obviously, the Helenas can heal people and they are magically powerful, but again, their predominant role is to heal people. But the Princes can act as military consultants, obviously. So there's a lot of difference between the Slushes and their specialties. Like, bigger bean boos will typically, especially within the Slush army, obviously predominantly talking about the Antakes, focus on military leadership and leading armies. So obviously it will really depend on who you're talking about. But in general, yes, there will be wildly different roles depending on what type of subspecies. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. See you next time.
See you next time.
See you next time.